And it is another Saturday. Welcome. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we have an interesting program, a return guest to our studios, and we'll be talking with Candy Hoff here in just a few moments as we begin to work our way into springtime. It has absolutely been a fabulous last few days here on the Central Coast. Earlier in the week, rather blustery. I literally had to hang onto my hat. I almost lost it crossing the street the other day. Ran after it and didn't get hit, so I was very fortunate there. But nonetheless, it is a beautiful day today on this wonderful Saturday, and we are looking for some great things to come over the coming days, weeks, and months as we continue looking at new paradigms for a new world, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And with us is Candy Hoff, and she is she has a website, which is Angel Healing, and no, it's actually angelhealinghouse.com. I did have it right the first time. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me back, Richard. It's a pleasure being here.
Now, you, I guess it's possible to be a Renaissance woman of sorts. You have your finger in a lot of different pies as far as different endeavors. You're a healer in as far as Reiki is concerned.
I am. I've got a healing practice here in downtown Santa Barbara. I have take national and also international calls with Skype and emailing all consultations around the world, and seeing people over the internet, you know, through the wonders of Skype. Mm-hmm. I have a meditation night first Monday of every month. I do angel channeled readings, a number of different things. I'm an author of a book about my near-death experiences.
That's part of what we're talking about today.
And part of what we're mm-hmm. talking about today, my two dances with death, as I called it.
But you're also a musician.
I am. I'm a pianist, and I've accompanied singers before, so a lot of different projects on a lot of different creative levels.
Is there anything you don't do?
I don't like to do the floors.
Okay. Or windows.
Or the windows.
All right. Well, we won't have you do those here today.
Thank you.
But we will also open up our phone lines for people if they'd like to call and talk with you. You also, now, you are an intuitive, but you package it just a little differently.
I do, because in my sessions, I do an intuitive counseling session. This is really important because it helps to see the clients, helps to see their lives from a higher perspective. And it's not just giving people random messages as in regular readings, not mm-hmm. that there's anything wrong with that, but the messages come in to see how you're sabotaging your life, why you've brought different things to yourself, where the lesson is, and why, even in a convoluted sense, why you're choosing to hang on to it.
Yeah.
And then what comes through is the practical, individualized tools in order to not do this again. And so then, after that, the energy treatments, which lift the emotional toxins and negativity off the body. So after the sessions, people say it's transformative because they are much clearer to see what they've done to themselves and where they could focus much more, more beneficial for mm-hmm. their energies to go.
And we'll talk a little bit about that as well, because there are a lot of people who are into what I will call the healing arts, and there's so many different names. It's sort of kind of all the same stuff.
I mean,
the purpose especially.
No question. It all boils down to the intention behind it and that love connection that you have to help raise somebody's vibrational energy and to hold their hand while they awaken to their own divine inherent nature. I think where people go, if there is a path to deviate in the healing arts, is where people try to fix somebody and they try to teach somebody something. And that's why I will never put healer on anything I ever print associated with Angel Healing House, because everyone heals on their own.
Yeah.
I am a healing practitioner that is different from being a healer as such.
But you don't actually, I mean, and even those who may claim to be healers have to understand that they actually don't really do the healing.
No,
and the individual who is seeking that actually does their own.
I also teach Reiki on all levels. And when I take somebody through the mastership level, I never bestow on, like I bestow you knight, you know, or master or whatever.
I crown you.
I take them through the mastership level. And when I take them, I tell them that it's so important for them to remember that there are no failures in spiritual healings. You know, when you're working on somebody, because they have their own journey, they might have to hold on to their illness in order to learn from it. So all you can do is just be with them, acknowledge what they're going through, and help them to raise their vibrational energies. And most of the time, it's just showing them very clearly, and that's why I show people from a higher perspective, then they can clearly see where they're deviating off that path of the flow of their life.
And if someone's looking for that kind of guidance and information, phone lines are open, 564-1290. That's 805-564. What area code are we in? 805-564-1290. That's 805-564-1290. If you're listening live on the internet, and you can do just that, listen live, go to richarddugan.com, click on the Listen Live link. It's big enough for even me to see. Just go there and click on it. You can also call 866-564-1290. 866-564-1290, or right here on the Central Coast, 805-564-1290. We will be back. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World with Candy Hoff. I'm Richard Dugan. Stay tuned.
Are you sad or angry about past events in your life? Would you like more joy, love, and peace? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
I'm Daniel Aleph, author of Titans of Fortune. One model of the Stanley Steamer was rocket fast. It went nearly 200 miles per hour before hitting a bump on the sands of Daytona Beach and becoming airborne. This was 1906. The driver and boiler survived. This and many other fascinating tales can be found in my new audiobook, A Road Well Traveled, Profiles of America's Great Automobile Pioneers, narrated by Baron Ron Heron. Learn how Henry Ford, Walter Chrysler, the Dodge Brothers, and other entrepreneurs changed America forever. Perfect stories for your commute. The 4-CD set of 24 profiles is available online at titansoffortune.com or call 805-245-3580. That's titansoffortune.com or 805-245-3580. Have a great journey.
Painting is a fast, affordable way to make a big difference. At Ace, we make it easier with expert help and friendly advice. We'll show you practical tips and techniques used by professionals to get the results you're looking for. And you'll always find a wide selection of our high-quality paint, plus all the tools and supplies you'll need to get the job done right. At Ace, we keep painting simple so you can enjoy the satisfaction of making a big difference for a small price. Ace, the helpful place.
New Paradigms for a New World. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you so much for joining us. Love to hear from you, too. Give us a call, 805-564-1290. Or outside the area, if you're listening live on the internet, or you are just outside the area, 866-564-1290. We'd also love to hear from you via email. The email address is richard@richarddugan.com, richard@richarddugan.com. Now, my guest, Candy Hoff, also has an email address, and it is candy@angelhealinghouse.com. That's candy@angelhealinghouse.com, which is also the website, angelhealinghouse.com if you'd like to get more information. The link is also at our website, richarddugan.com. So jot that information down. Check it out. We'd love to have you get more information and see what's out there for you. The whole point of this program is to bring you all of these different ideas, these different points of view, to basically give you the opportunity to choose what works for you, what vibrates, what resonates. And we were talking, of course, before we took the break about healing in general. And I brought up the subject of sound or music therapy, or using that vibration, if you will, as a healing modality. That is not something that you do at this time.
No, not directly. Indirectly, it is. I mean, I played at a retirement community last night, and you could see the effect that the intention behind the music and the love and the compassion that it was played with, that goes out. And although it's not used at like a singing bowl or a chanting or something in a direct healing situation, because all we are is energy and all we are is intention, that definitely went out and it touched people to the very core of who they were. And people were crying afterwards and coming up and hugging me and holding my hand and saying how beautiful it was. And so I would, to answer your question, not directly, but in an indirect sense.
And you know, you said something that spurred a thought, and that is that, you know, we're all one. It's all energy.
We are all energy.
And in those situations, as you described, you know, it is so easy to think of us as all being one.
Yeah.
But when you're out on the highways, or you're trying to get across State Street, or you're in a grocery store trying to get through the checkout line, and there's somebody writing a check, or dropped their change all over, or is just being cantankerous with the clerk, or the clerk's being cantankerous, it's so hard to think. There's some serious healing that needs to go on.
Well, I can tell you how to get beyond that.
Please.
Okay. And this is what I tell my clients and my students. Everything that you have in your reality, Richard, you've brought it there as a lesson, and you've brought it there for your highest good.
Oh, no, I did not.
And I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's road rage, winning the lottery, a terminal illness, or whatever it is. It is there for a purpose, and it is there. People don't understand that if something negative happens to them, they have it's like if you go back in time and they put in escrow so many negative units in the bank, mm-hmm. and the bank has to pay you dividends. So when you were angry and you lost control and you whatever negative emotions you had in the things you thought, in the things you spoke, or what you felt in your heart, you've put those negative units in the bank. And so somewhere down the future, where you, when you drop the iron on your foot, or you run over your cat, or you have an argument with your boss, or a dent in your car, these things are swinging back. And you'll be sitting in traffic and somebody will plow in the back of you and go, I wasn't doing anything. But you don't take into account that all of us are energy, and what you've put in the bank up until now.
Energetically. Comes back.
Come back
a
to
kind of
you.
Einstein's theory of relativity. I don't know if it's the theory of relativity. All I know is for every action there's an equal and opposite
That is
reaction.
One of the most extraordinary spiritual laws that I learned in my near-death experiences. Mm-hmm. I learned, very succinct spiritual laws to bring back. But that's it. For every action there is a reaction. And that's why, you know, you take responsibility for everything that is in front of you.
But some people look at that as saying, but I'm being punished.
No, it's not. It all we are is the sum total of our choices in life. And all that's the reason why we're here. We're here to affect the world by what we think, by what we speak, and what we feel in our hearts. And the more that we increase that with love and light, the more we're increasing and expanding universes. And that's the only reason why we're here. We can either do it with love, and we can do it with generosity and concern and compassion and empathy, or else we can do it with self-denial and addictions and anger and rage and arrogance and control and greed. And we've seen in the financial world that we live in what that's brought our country to.
Our world.
The very world we live in on all levels. But I bring up the financial because this is just, you know, sort of so in our faces and really have affected so many people.
I know that it has changed a lot of people in terms of their mindset. Some people go in the direction of not exactly hoarding, but not releasing what little they do have.
Okay, and where they're missing the forest for the trees is it's not in the hoarding, it's in appreciating what you have. See, most people who watch The Secret over and over again, most people who watched What the Bleep, and, you know, they said, oh, I'm going to make my vision board, and this is what I want, and this is what I want, and this one, and they're always going to be in want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to have that intention, but the flow in life comes from appreciating what you've already have, and the power is in the now. It is in what is.
I've heard the word grace used.
Yes, and that's divine grace, and that's in every single second where you know you are divinely, know where you're meant to be. You know your abundance does not come from money, because money is a finite commodity. Your abundance comes from God, which is your instant and constant store of abundance. You know, those of us that have had near-death experiences, we do not separate ourselves from the all that is in anything we do. And that's where the grace comes in. We live everything we think, everything we speak, and everything we feel in our hearts is attached to that divine vibration. And it becomes that living state of grace, that's where your flow comes from. I am abundant. It's not that I have abundance.
Mm-hmm.
I am that within which I'm seeking without, because you can't have that in front of you which isn't your divine reflection inside of you. And that's why we change from within in order to get change from without.
So it's become what it is that you want, be abundance, as opposed to having it, which then places it almost outside of yourself.
Well, if you want to have abundance, then you're always going to be wanting or you mm-hmm. something that you don't have.
Right.
Which you cannot not have something like abundance, because this, you can't transcend that which can't be transcended.
Mm-hmm.
You are abundant. I don't care if you've got 2 cents in your pocket or $200 million. You are abundant. Mm-hmm. And abundance is your nature. And the reason people don't have whatever's ever on their vision board or whatever they intend is because they live in lack. And they live in want,
mm-hmm.
and they live in desire, and they certainly do not appreciate what they already have.
Okay. I'll paint this real quick scenario, and then we'll move on to some other subjects. I could paint the scenario of the way that I would like to live, where I never have to concern myself with the dollars that are in the bank or in my wallet, and that I and my wife can go and do the things that we enjoy doing, nothing extravagant, like, you know, buying gold-plated faucets and things. But we'd like to take trips, you know, to Ireland in particular, you know, travel up and down the coast to the different wineries, have a nice dinner out every so often, buy some nice clothes so that we look, you know, presentable mm-hmm. at work. Those kinds of, in a way, kind of basic things.
Yeah.
Nothing extravagant, and never have to concern ourselves or concern myself with whether there's enough. Just enjoying living.
That's totally mindset.
Okay.
Okay. And the more you put your attention and your focus on appreciating what it is you do have,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to make some sort of movement, to what you want. Okay. So the more that you can, you know, feel appreciative for the clothing that you have, but say, I will put aside a little bit each week, and then that goal will mm-hmm. eventually become
yeah.
whatever it is down the track. But you'll also bring to yourself opportunities. And it also is of the higher mindset that money per se may not be the avenue in which you bring those clothing to
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Right.
What happens if, you know, you're out somewhere in that paradigm, and because you've drawn everybody to yourself, you help an old lady across the street, or
mm-hmm.
she's fallen down in the middle of the traffic and you help her get across, and just by being good, and you take her home and you wash off her skin, knees, or whatever, and she then remembers you in her will,
mm-hmm.
and you have right. enough clothing for the rest of your life and everything else.
Right.
you know, people equate having things with only monetary way of getting there.
Yeah.
And that is so limiting. Mm-hmm. It just is. When you rise above this all and you can see it from a higher point of view, I do an angel, a channel angel meditation in which you go and you open up the doors of abundance and you see wheelbarrows as far as the eye can see, and they all have your name on it, and it's opening the doors of abundance, of health, of wealth, of kindness, of whatever you want, and it's all there for you.
Yeah.
It's just allowing it to come in all ways and shapes and forms.
However it manifests.
And the most thing, yeah. the very best, the thing that will stop you is thinking that it has to come through a monetary
right.
sense.
I remember early on in my broadcast career back in Phoenix, I was working for a station. I'd worked for them for probably 8 or 10 years. I ended up working them for 15. But I learned very early on that they weren't going to compensate me the way I thought I was going to. Mm-hmm. I would like to be compensated, right. And I wasn't going to receive the abundance from them directly. And I was doing interviews, just as I do here, and doing lots of other different projects and so on and so forth. And I was getting the CDs and the books and the relationships with the guests and on and on and on. And that's when it dawned on me that I'm not going to get compensated from where I think I ought to.
Yeah.
That I'm going to receive more from sources that I wasn't even looking at before. And that's when that kind of opened up. And, you know, amazing.
I must say one of the most important things that I do get across to my clients and my students is that your gift, you've come in with an extraordinary gift. Each one of us
yeah.
has it, a gift and a talent. And when you are bringing that forth, you feel abundant, you are abundance, and then the universe recognizes that little light of bliss that goes off inside of you and then pays you back in the most extraordinary ways and shapes and forms.
Yeah.
And it's in that high vibrational bliss of doing what you absolutely love.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, to call that I work at Angel Healing House is ludicrous. I mean, you know, I love my job,
yeah.
and I never work a day in my life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like breathing. And
we had an extraordinary experience last night. We actually went to see New Kids on the Block at Santa Barbara Bowl. Not our cup of tea, but we stayed for a little while. And as we walked away from the bowl and were walking home, the music was getting louder as we walked away, which was really strange. But it was like I didn't feel like I wasted any time. We had such a great time. We really did. It was beautiful out yesterday evening at twilight.
Yeah.
Just gorgeous. And the walk was wonderful, and just everything was green, and the trees were creating a great canopy, and it was just a wonderful atmosphere. And so there are times when we might think in one mindset, I just wasted an hour and a half. That was just ridiculous, whether mm-hmm. it was a concert or,
yeah.
you know, waiting in line or driving to and from or whatever place you are where you think you're wasting time.
But
there is never any wasted yeah. time.
It's always purposeful. I remember
yeah.
I remember an interview I did, and the woman said to me, oh, there's terrible traffic in our town. What things can you tell people to do to de-stress and relax and what have you? And I said, well, why would you call the traffic terrible? I said, maybe you've got to be stuck still in that traffic for 10 minutes, because if you were allowed to go 10 minutes before, you would have been in an intersection where a Mack truck would have run a red
yeah.
light and you would have sliced you in half.
Yeah.
I said, did you ever think about that? She was silent. And I said, oh, another one. I said, maybe you're going to buy a lottery ticket. And, you know, the winning lottery ticket is not sold for another 10 or 15 minutes and you're stuck in traffic saying, oh, I got to do my errands before mm-hmm. I go home. And you walk in at just the right amount of time when the winning lottery ticket goes in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not yours to know.
Yeah.
It's only for you to realize that whatever's in front of you is there for your highest good. And also, listeners, you never miss out on an opportunity, because what is yours will always come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if it didn't come to you in this instance, it wasn't meant to come to you in this way, and something is better is always coming.
If you've just joined us, I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. My guest is Candy Hoff. She is with AngelHealingHouse.com. That is her website, where you can find out about her various healing modalities through Reiki as well as other things that she has to offer. And we're also going to talk here in the next half hour about her, near-death experience. You had two of them, actually.
I had two of them.
And we're
yes.
going to talk about that as we continue. If you'd like to get in touch with Candy, it's Candy, C-A-N-D-Y, at angelhealinghouse.com. That's Candy at angelhealinghouse.com. And if you'd like to give us a call, our number is 805-564-1290. That's 805-564-1290. Or give us a call if you're listening online, 866-564-1290. Toll free, 866-564-1290. Candy, I've talked with quite a number of people who have had both out-of-body experiences and also near-death experiences, mm-hmm. and we kind of got a good explanation from PMH Atwater a few weeks ago. The difference primarily has to do with the trauma.
Yeah.
That near-death is usually associated with some kind of physical trauma to the body. Mm-hmm. That my perspective is that jolts the soul out of the physical body, in a manner of speaking.
Yeah, well, it was very much like that with my first experience. I was 5 years old. I was in a kindergarten playground, and I was clairvoyant and a visionary as a child. I could very clearly see angels and fairies. I was off in the periphery of the playground, playing with my invisible friends, and the bell rang for us to return to the flagpole, the prescribed place where we had to line up. And I was very much involved with my friends, and I looked up, and I also saw that most children were in the line, and the last person in line, now this wasn't very politically correct, but it was in the 50s, the last person in line always got whacked on the back of their legs with a stick.
Oh.
Okay, you know, so for other truant, you know, children who didn't move so fast. So I was running to get into line, and my feet hit the gravel and went out from under me, and I went straight into the concrete block corner of the flagpole, and I still have the scar right there, and I hit it on my head, and I just completely blacked out. I felt, the first thing that I felt, Richard, was I heard a whirring in my ears. It sounded like bees were in my head. This searing pain, and then within a flash of a second, there was no pain, and I found myself over my body, which was a little bit disconcerting for a five-year-old. Anyway, before I could even fathom all of this, I felt like I was being schlepped. That's a good Yiddish word. I felt like I was being dragged, and I let myself go, and I found myself in what looked like a dark enclosure and going through like a pipe-like thing, and a bright white light at the end. Okay, so I come upon this light, and the first person I see on the other side of the light is my grandmother, Clara. And I said, oh, thank goodness there's somebody here. And so we hug each other. Now, this is odd because my grandmother, Clara, died 26 years ago before I was born. My mother lost her mother when she was 2.5 years of age, except I knew this to be my grandmother. I felt so secure with her. And her sister, who also died of tuberculosis, my auntie, were next to each other. Anyway, we knelt down on what looked like a white, I would like to say it's a cloud, but something white, and we looked over the side of it, and I saw a little girl crumpled on the ground with blood coming out of her head. Anyway, I thought, how nice, everybody's running around to help that little girl. And my grandmother looked down at me, and she said, you know, Claire, it's not your time to come to us yet. She said, you will be coming back to visit us, but you have so much to still complete. And I felt kicked in the guts. I felt like it was the worst feeling that anybody can imagine, being told that it's not your time to stay in where you feel so complete and so accepted and 100% whole and loved. And she looked down at me. She saw how sad I was, and she said, I'll take you to a place where you'll be going to later on. And in an instant, again, she didn't speak to me. The feeling was through my heart, and I was in a classroom with adults and children, and immediately she said, you are not only going to come here, but you are going to be a spiritual teacher for many, many others. And I found myself giving her a hug, and she kissed me, and 2 seconds later I was waking up in the doctor's office as stitches were being put in my head. And I told lots of people about this when I came back from this near-death experience, except I was never very much acknowledged for my intuitive abilities as a child. And so my mom just put it in the pile of Candy's invisible friends. And so after a while, you know, you're not acknowledged about something and you forget talking about it.
Yeah. But then you had it happen again.
I did. I was I was at the ocean with my parents, with my family. It was right before I was 13. And it was a particularly turbulent day at the beach, big, huge waves. And I'm not a particularly strong swimmer, but I could see my three brothers. They were in the water. And I said, well, I'll go in and have fun, too. And there's a thing that says that you should never turn your back on the ocean. And that's exactly what I did. Few moments, I looked on the sand, and this wave crested up behind me, and it slammed down me right into the sand of the bottom of the ocean floor. I felt like a billows. I felt like an accordion, and it whoosh, it just sucked all the air out of me. I rose above my body, and I looked down, and I saw my ragdoll-like form being swashed and washed in the foam. Again, I felt a dragging and something dragging me along, except this time I let go very easily, and I found myself in the tunnel. And I recognized this from a spirit or a soul form from what I experienced before, except this time in the tunnel, I noticed how fast we were moving at a very increased speed, and there were others in there. There were others floating by. There were actually dogs and cats, and there were other people, and all smiling at each other, going towards the light at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I got the feeling this time that it was very purposeful. I mean, it wasn't like I fell into something. It was very purpose-driven. At the end, coming out at the light, a light being, this tall, very tall light being, I'd call it an angel, was there, and we communicated with each other how wonderful it was to see each other once again. And they welcomed me back and said, it's time to go on a journey. This is a very important journey for you to go on and for you to see. And so the first place we arrive at, which everything is in a blink of an eye, because when you think it on the other interdimensional level, it's there immediately. And it was a beautiful garden of pink roses as far as the eye could see. And there were balloons. There was a cake. And my grandmother Clara was there, also my grandfather Chaim, who I also had never met. My grandparents from my dad's side, who passed away 4 years before this, they were there. And it was, in a sense, a reunion party, but not just people from my present incarnation, past life people as well, who we'd had a dance with, a karmic dance. Mm-hmm. And there were some animals there that I lived on a farm that, you know, my dog who had got run over and a cat or whatever, they were there.
Mm.
And it was a lovely reunion. These people, they looked in perfect health, and they were, you know, it was so wonderful to be together. I just can't describe it. Anyway, so the angel comes back to me and says, you know, you can visit with these people again. They're always with you, but we need to go. And we walked through the rose garden. We came to a line of trees, and when we crossed the line of trees, it was the most extraordinary thing I've ever seen. The ground fell away, like Grand Canyon-esque, and as far as the eye could see, was a city of light. And off of this city of light, it was like crystalline buildings and turrets like you'd see on castles or whatever, and there was light coming off of the city and this beautiful melodious music that was coming off it. I was just awestruck by this, and the angel said, come, we've got to go to the Hall of Justice. And as soon as she said that, my feet were standing on marble, like a pink rose marble steps, as I walked up. And it was attached to a Greek-looking building with columns.
Mm-hmm.
I walked inside, and there was a bench. And the angel implored me to sit down. I sat down on the bench, and holographically, suddenly, I don't know how, but there was a review, a screen of my life from birth until I had the breath squashed out of me in the ocean. And I saw everything that I'd ever done, from woe to go. I mean, what touched me the most was that every time I was loving, kind, considerate, generous, I felt what my actions resulted in another person feeling the same way. And I got to tell you, as a child, well, I was quite manipulative. I was always sweet, the angelic person I am now. And I could be very duplicitous and sometimes didn't tell the truth anyway. All right, that's in the past. But I saw what that caused other people to feel as well. When this holographic film was done, the angel came and got me and said, now it's time to go to the Hall of Records. And again, my feet were on marble steps. I walked up, except this time I took note of what was around, and it looked like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. I mean, it was just beautiful flowers and trees were all around. Anyway, I walked into the building, and there in front of me was a semicircle of very wise, ancient-looking people. And I stood before them, and they welcomed me back, again, not with words, but that connectivity through the heart. You could hear them perfectly. And they opened up my book of life, and they said, well, let's review your contract, and do you want to go back? And I said, hell no, I don't want to go back. I said, you must be joking. And they said, well, no, hang on, we have to review this. It's going to cause such tremendous grief to your parents, and there are children to be born, and the people that you're going to meet with and connect with, this is really important for you to go back. And in the end, I decided, yes, I would go back because it would cause tremendous grief to my parents.
Yeah.
And once they signed this in my contract and my angel got me and we said goodbye, I was being vomited up out of the ocean on the shore. And once again, I live to tell the tale.
I have to say that the images that came to mind are, and I can't remember the title of the movie, but starring Albert Brooks and Meryl Streep. And it was they had died, and their lives were being reviewed. And then to get on this trolley together, and they'd go to the different Hall of Records, and he'd sit like he was on trial, in a manner of speaking. But all they were doing was taking a look at the events in his life.
Yeah.
Just to see what happened, and it was so fascinating to me.
There is no judgment.
Yeah.
There is no punishment. There only is the clarity that you will see your life, that for every action, there is a reaction.
Yeah.
And that is the accountability. There is no condemnation or damnation. There's only the responsibility of that. And that's what you go and you review. That you've seen what your choices have done in the world.
Well, to me, it is very interesting to hear the stories of one who has had these two experiences. Mm. We've had folks in that regard who have had these experiences. And I think that, and you can agree or disagree with this, that the conclusion is this is not something somebody wants to have happen to them. They do not want a near-death experience, in spite of, we'll get into this in a moment, the other wonderful benefits that come along after the fact.
Exactly.
This is not a fun experience.
It is not a fun. It's not. You are changed irrevocably by this, as a result of this. But I can tell you that when you go headfirst into the corner of a concrete block, this is not something. Or people that get mangled in cars, or find themselves having died on the table and risen above it and watching the medical team work on him. This is not something that you would actively. I mean, on some level, you must have chosen this.
Sure, part of the contract.
But
as you
part
said,
of the contract to be able to have that glimpse. Into an early glimpse of that interdimensional other side of reality.
I'll throw one other element in before we move on. Mm. Walk-ins. How does that play into near-death experiences? Does that happen, as far as you are aware,
right?
Frequently, infrequently, never? There's no such thing as walk-ins?
I had a walk-in experience in January 2003, and the reason that happens is because the person on the Earth level cannot keep their life force energy going. They are so depressed, or I tried to commit suicide twice. They just don't want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And so the person on the other side, on the other interdimensional, whether that's heaven, you want to think about it as heaven, sees this and says they're going to waste the body. Instead of me incarnating the walk-in coming in at a baby level and mm-hmm. then having to waste all that time growing up
yeah.
to get to the forum where that can be of humanitarian service and do things to enlighten and also consciously affect the planet, then they have an intersection episode with that person in which they tell them, you don't have to waste your body, you don't have to live this depressed life, you can go up to honors, you know, you can go up with honors mm-hmm. and be accepted. And so that's a difference.
It's like graduating from college at 16 or something.
No question. Actually, I like what Elizabeth Kubler-Ross actually, she said, I've told my children that when I died to release balloons in the sky to celebrate that I graduated, for death to her was a graduation.
You know, I've heard it described also as far as the physical aspects, you're taking off a very heavy overcoat.
No question about it.
That's all it
really,
is.
I really want to get into what it feels like to die.
Yeah.
And this is so very important because we've only been taught that we need a body in order to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you think the biggest surprise for most people in dying is to realize that dying is not the end. I mean,
right.
it's just not. Whatever comes afterwards, a darkness, a light, a dimension, a non-dimension, whatever it is, you can still think, you can still remember, you can still hear and move and reason and feel, you can still tell jokes. My ex-father-in-law, his name is Jack, he's the biggest crack-up on the planet. He passed away in 1997 from Alzheimer's. In his visits to me, and I know it's him because he precedes his visits to me by cigar smoke, so I can tell it's him.
Uh-huh.
He's still smoking cigars, he's still telling jokes and playing cards and charming the ladies,
mm-hmm.
exactly as he did in physical form. The most extraordinary thing for you to realize is that after you die, you still exist.
Mm-hmm.
You are still you in mm-hmm. every way, shape, or form.
But doesn't Jack know that those cigars will kill him?
Oh, but you know, you're no longer bound
yeah.
by linear space and time, and you take off your Earth jacket. But if you expect to die when you die, you are going to be so disappointed. you zip off your Earth jacket. Can you imagine? Okay, I just want the listeners to imagine. Okay, you have zipped off your Earth jacket, and there's no more cellulite, wrinkles, dandruff, droopy breasts, love handles. You're not too fat, too thin, too short, too tall, plagued by plaque, bad breath, the heartbreak of psoriasis or baldness. Finally, there's nothing to feed, nothing to empty, nothing to wipe, and nothing to maintain. You are free,
yeah.
but you are still you. You are such an extraordinary, unique, special essence that when you are in energy form, everybody knows you by the light or the lack of light you are emitting.
I've often taken a look at all of these types, these areas of higher consciousness and expanded living, if you will, in these other realms, or just who and what we are, and I can see them in a microcosmic way. For example, the brain, the human brain, and I look at the computer. Well, the computer is designed after something. It wasn't created from some vacuous idea.
Mm-hmm.
It came from some concepts that men and women put together, and so I say the brain has, and I go down the list of the components that a computer has. Well, as you describe this, I use the analogy with people. How many cars have you had in your lifetime? I mean, you've had to have gone through two, three. I never thought I'd drive, and I've already had four, okay?
yeah.
But and for various reasons. But needless to say, if you wear the thing out, what do you usually do? You get rid of the old one,
yeah.
and you go buy a new one or a used one that's working well and so
yeah.
forth. So you change vehicles so you can get from point A to point B. That's all we're doing.
The reason I'm laughing, I like what Paramahansa Yogananda said about death. He said, death is only an experience through which you are meant to learn one lesson, that you cannot die.
I have to also laugh because when I worked for the religious station, I used to think about the words that would come out of some of these ministers in terms of the people that they were lambasting and throwing fire and brimstone at, and thinking, you know what? They're going to be so surprised when they go to the same place that those people they're attacking are in,
yeah.
and they can't get away from them.
Yeah, and I'd like to speak about that now, because mm-hmm. once you've zipped off your Earth suit,
mm-hmm.
where are you going? Are you just flapping around in the breeze somewhere? you go to the same dimensional vibrational level that you are at. Mm-hmm. You know, those like myself who have had this experience, they identify with the Bible saying, in my Father's house there are many mansions. Mm-hmm. And when you cross over, because you are that essence of all that is, which I call God, lots of people call it different names, you'll furnish it with what you have inside. So if you take love and kindness, acceptance, generosity, and compassionate, that is what you'll take, and that's what appear across the veil for you. Of course, if you've got selfish motives and judgment, control, and greed, that's what will appear, and that's just scientific quantum physics, energy, you know, energy like attracting like. Because there are so many different dimensions outside the physical plane, and when we cross over, we enter that dimensional level, which is most representative of our vibrational frequency inside. And so some people say that's either full of light, which is heaven, or not full of light, which is hell. I actually like what T.S. Eliot said about hell is the only hell that there is the hell that we make for ourselves right here on earth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when you look at hell as being in close proximity to the earth, then there are different vibratory levels of that negative, dense thought form. Whatever we go, if we go to that so-called hell, we go to work out our regrets, our anger, our arrogance, our self-pity, or whatever blocks us from that light. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy wherever you're going to find yourself. And we stay there for as long best serves our development. And when we leave, it's only when we change our attitude and our perception. Again, there's no condemnation. There's just a working out of our misalignments and taking responsibility for our actions.
Yeah. You're listening to Tell Me Your Story, and Candy Hoff, she's my guest in studio today with AngelHealingHouse.com. Check it out. Go to AngelHealingHouse.com. Email her, candy@AngelHealingHouse.com. And we hope that you will stay tuned. We have more to come here on Tell Me Your Story. New paradigms for a new world, bringing you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And we will be back.
Are addictions ruining your life? Have you lost hope and long to discover help for a brighter tomorrow? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Bill Moyer said Robert Bly is arguably the most influential writer and poet of our time on the American scene today. You're invited to experience an evening with Robert Bly on Thursday, April 23rd at the Granada Theater. That's right, Robert Bly, an icon in the contemporary culture of Western art and the founder of the Expressive Men's Movement, will bring his art, wit, and wisdom to the Granada on Thursday, April 23rd for an evening of poetry, powerful ethereal sound, humor, philosophy, and a unique perspective on our times, accompanied by David Whetstone on sitar and tabla percussionist Marcus Weiss. All profits from this rare public performance will be shared with the Mankind Project Santa Barbara, Domestic Violence Solutions, and Boys to Men Central California Coast. Dr. Robert Moore has said, when the cultural and intellectual history of our time is written, Robert Bly will be recognized as the catalyst for a sweeping cultural revolution. Call the Granada today at 899-2222 to purchase your tickets to experience an evening with Robert Bly on Thursday, April 23rd, or visit GranadaSB.org for more information.
Okay, it's time to play Name That Restaurant. Here are the clues. This mystery restaurant is located in Santa Barbara.
Well, that narrows it down to about 550.
This restaurant has indoor and outdoor seating.
Oh, now you're talking. There are only a couple of hundred restaurants that have outdoor seating.
Give up?
No, I'm looking at nippers.com. There are menus, recipes, the forum, restaurant news, and over 200 restaurant reviews written by professional food journalists.
Check out nippers.com, always serving up all the right answers about Santa Barbara restaurants.
If we
tell me your stories.
New paradigms for a new world. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, along with Candy Hoff. We're here in studio, and if you'd like, we've got a couple of minutes left to take your calls at 564-1290, 866-564-1290. That's toll-free, or 805-564-1290. Before we go, I have a couple of other questions for you, but we have a question from our studio audience. Asks, basically, a very simple question, and they usually are, mm-hmm. and they're the most profound. Why do we come back?
We come back because to learn our lessons in duality. Human beings only learn by contrast. You will only learn what you don't want, what you do want, by what you don't like, and that only gets cemented.
But
that only gets cemented.
Can't I write into my contract before I get here? I don't want to learn through duality, through contrast.
Okay, Richard, how old are you?
I'll be almost 49.
Okay. All right. You're a baby. You are.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
You are a baby. Okay. We only grow once we're challenged. And, you know, we only learn by our mistakes. That's the human game. I mean, we are spiritual beings playing the human game. And there's a great thing, and I wish I'd brought it along. It's called playing the human game or rules for being human. Mm-hmm. And one of the ones is you have a body. You'll either love it or you'll hate it. It doesn't matter. You're here to learn your lessons. You only learn by your mistakes. You learn by contrast. You run on the sidewalk and you skin your knees and you know not to run on the sidewalk anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When I say that you're a baby, you know, you have all this wealth of experience. How do you think you've gotten to be so wise? It's because sailors don't learn to sail in calm waters. They learn when the seas are rough.
You know, because I have plans on taking sailing lessons. I want to learn how to sail, even if it's just around the harbor, you know, without crashing into something. And I actually was thinking about that and thinking, okay, what would it be like if I was to, again, having the wherewithal, I'm just going to go buy a boat and I'm going.
Yeah.
I have no knowledge. You know, I have little bits and pieces. I know basically kind of sort of how to read a compass and blah, blah, blah. I don't know about the knots and all this. I know to stay to the right.
Yeah.
Okay. I have those very basic things. And I'm thinking, what would that trip be like? And odds are it probably would be pretty horrendous.
It probably would be pretty horrendous. So just the way you learn to walk or to mm-hmm. run, you need to do the baby steps. When you asked me, why are we here and mm-hmm. the purpose of what's we're here, all near-deathers like myself who have stood in the light of all that there is, and we didn't even begin to describe what that feels like.
Oh, I know.
Because you, whatever you think you'll meet when you get over there is who you'll meet. If it's God, if it's Jesus, if it's Buddha, if it's Allah, if it's Popeye, whatever it is, it will be there for you. Mm-hmm. And those of us that have been embraced in the arms of the all that have been awakened to these points here, before we go, I just want to make sure I say this to your listeners. One, we're made in the image of God, not in the physical representation, but a respect to the power of the souls and the potential of our minds. That all that is the God, or whatever you want to call it, and we are the co-creator.
Mm-hmm.
We are limitless, and so we can co-create. Number two is that all that is as close as our near breath, and we are part of that. We are abundance. So you can't separate from that, and I don't care what you've done, listeners, alcohol, drugs, stolen, whatever. You are part of that. You can choose to sabotage yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And God is too big to fit into any one religion. Okay, so I like this. My son wears a T-shirt and it says, God created all religions, therefore he's too big to fit into only one religion.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many paths to God. Religions were never meant to separate us. They were meant to bring us closer to God.
I have actually taken a look at that whole aspect, and I have to chuckle when I was doing this, even when I was working for the Christian station, that we come into this world and there's a myriad of foods that we can eat, and we try a lot of them. Some we like, some we don't like. And there's lots of clothes that we can wear and lots of people we can associate with. And then when it comes time to educate ourselves, we can go in any number of directions. They tell us to go to the library and broaden your horizons.
Yeah.
But when it comes to spirituality, Ah, there's only one way. And I'm going, wait a minute, there's something wrong with that. It just doesn't fit.
I have one more quote, which I want to fit in. I like what Woody Allen said about death. He says, I'm not afraid of death. It's just that I don't want to be there when it happens.
Okay. Well, we're not going to be here in just a moment because our clock is running out, unfortunately, for this program. But we'll be back next Saturday. Candy Hoff has been my guest. AngelHealingHeart.com is her website. I beg your pardon. AngelHealingHouse.com. Got a little too excited there. AngelHealingHouse.com. That's the website. I'm Richard Dugan. RichardDugan.com is my website. Tell Me Your Story is the program. We'll be back next Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Until then, love to all.